I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone, it's episode 68 of Internet Marketing, and it is news and tools today.
Yes.
And I have with me Mr. Kelvin Newman. We are on our own today, but a bit of a strange sort of situation today, because I don't know if you know, but Kelvin is expecting his first child any day now.
Any moment. Well, by the time this is published, I would most sincerely hope that baby has arrived by then. But
so
yes.
He's going to be a father for the first time. So if any of our listeners have got any tips for a first-time father, I'm sure Kelvin would be delighted to hear them.
Especially if they're kind of like by racing remote control cars, get bikes that, you know, are suitable for kids, but also you can do all that kind of thing. You know, presents for babies that are really presents for you.
That's right. Yeah, you must have a Sky Electrics and an iPhone and all sorts of bits and pieces.
Even if it's a girl and doesn't like that kind of thing.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. So he's sitting here with his catcher's mitt. We're also Danless, because Dan is on Planet Internet World, isn't he?
Yeah, he's along at the conference up in London today, which will help you work out if you want to be clever about when we're recording this. Dan was going to join us on Skype, but unfortunately his hotel's Wi-Fi connection is very flaky, so we can kind of just get one word out of five out of him, which unfortunately wouldn't be very good for the listeners. So yeah, Dan's with us in spirit but not actually here today, but he said to mention if you're interested in what he was up to at Internet World, he's going to be sharing his presentation slides on his Twitter account, so you can follow him. His Twitter username is Daniel Rouse, all one word there. Worth mentioning as well, if you want to follow me and Andy, our Twitter usernames is, mine's just Kelvin Newman, all one word, and yours is Dr. Pod.
Dr. Pod. Doctor spelled out fully. Doctor. Yeah. So, Internet World, that's just next door to Pandora, isn't it? Where there's big, tall, blue people live.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I don't know who lives on Internet World, but I think they're probably a little bit geeky.
Actually, what's useless? Where is it? It's obviously in the UK.
I think it's Earl's Court.
Earl's Court. Yes, right. Yes. Okay, today's show, we've got five topics to cover. Google phasing out keyword tool. Talk about WordTree, WordStream even, which is a new keyword research service. I love this one, iPhone 4G found in a pub. That's a juicy one. Prezi, which is some presentation software, and Wordle, which does tag clouds. Let's look at that first one, Kelvin. Google phasing out the keywords. So what is this all about?
Basically, I've always been a big advocate of using Google's internal keyword research tools. And I know a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about finding niche keywords around the world, I always recommended Google's tool. Well, they've currently always had two keyword tools since about probably middle of last year, two tools which essentially had very similar functionality running at the same time. And they're kind of a bit confusing because they're both called the keyword tool.
Did it ever have a proper name?
Yeah, not really, no.
Is it just Google's keyword tool?
Yeah, so there was the one that's known as Google's external keyword tool, which is the old one. That one's in the process of being phased out. So at the moment, if you go to that tool, sometimes they will redirect you to the new one, which is known as the search keyword tool. Okay. So very confusing. One's external keyword tool and one's search keyword tool. I'll put the links to both in the show notes below. But the original one, the external keyword tool, which is the one I tend to recommend, and in previous shows where I've linked through to the Google's keyword tool, that's been the one I've linked through to. The search keyword tool relies on very much the same data, so it's not hugely different, but it is a different user experience and user interface on top of it. It's a little bit more flashy, but actually, in maybe I'm getting a little bit old-fashioned here, I preferred the older one, but the data's still there, and you can do everything you can do in the other one, but the search keyword tool is a little bit more whizzy, if you know what I mean.
So they've just basically tarted up the user interface?
Yeah, reskinned it. I think there's slightly different data under the skin there, but you're still relying on Google's data, and the numbers will be different, but in all the tests I've done, the relative popularity of keywords has been the same. So it might say, 2,000 people search for monkey every day on one and 2,020 on the other one, but if you search for monkey haircut, you know, both would say it was less. Or, you know, the relative numbers are very similar on them there. So bit of a shame there, but tends to be the way when you've got these two tools running concurrently. It seems strange if they would have kept both running for a long period of time. So they switched to the new one, which is known as the search keyword tool.
Now, keyword research, of course, extremely important. I remember in the good old bad old days of the early internet marketing episodes, we always used to recommend Nichebot. Now, do you think this Google is better than Nichebot?
We mentioned in the last Q&A show a couple of tools that are out there. Nichebot being one, SpyFu, Keyword Spy. Word Tracker is the main sort of paid for.
Yeah, that was always the big sort of £800 gorilla, wasn't it?
Yeah, so they're all still really good and all have their different pros and cons. I tend to always go to Google's first because I tend to think that their data is probably the most reliable. But you have to bear in mind that they've always got an ulterior motive, which is to get you to spend money on pay-per-click. So it's always kind of pushing you towards that kind of thing. So my first recommendation would always be Google AdWords tool. But actually, that comes on quite nicely to the next tool I was hoping to talk about, which was a fairly new tool called WordStream, which is a paid-for keyword tool, but they have some nice free keyword tools off the back of that. So if you want to choose what keywords you should be mentioning in your title tags, or if you want to decide what blog posts you should be writing because you want to target search engine traffic in that way, it's good to have a look at a keyword tool. And WordStream is a new one, gives a slightly different perspective to Google AdWords, and they've got some free ones. And interestingly, they've got a tool called Niche Keyword Tool, which is quite good for those if you're looking for interesting new terms to target there. So they've been doing a lot of blogging, and they've got some nice blog posts they're doing to promote themselves at the moment. So that's how I've come across them, because they've been writing some interesting SEO stuff. But WordStream, I think it's wordstream.com. I'll include a link in the show notes. An interesting tool there to have a play about with if you kind of just want to try something new out. Because I'm a big fan of these. There's new tools launched every day online in, you know, internet marketing that can help you in various different ways, shapes and forms. Not all of them are always going to be ones you come back to on a day-to-day basis. But it's sometimes good to have a look at some new tools because it might give you a new perspective on what you're doing.
Now, where does WordStream get their data from? Is it from Google?
I'm not absolutely certain on that one. That tends to be the problem with the tools that aren't Google. Like the problem with Word Tracker always
was. This is where I was going, you see.
Yeah, they pulled their data from ISPs that they had a relationship with. And that was bad in the UK and outside the States because it was very American-centric. So, it was no good for doing UK keyword research, except they now do pull some from the UK. That's always the flaw in any of these keyword tools, is where they pull their data from, because quite often they use a very small sample size and extrapolate from that.
Yeah, yeah.
And anyone who knows anything about statistics knows how dangerous that can be. So if you just get, you're using a sample of 100 internet users and one person is really into a particular type of phrase, and then that gets expanded out to say there's millions of people looking for it, when actually it was just kind of one chap in his bedroom, really keen on a particular search term.
Now, the next item, I mean, let me set the scene. You're in a pub. And you just look down on the seat, and there's a weird-looking iPhone, and you pick it up, and it dawns on you slowly that this is one of the new generation 4G iPhones, and somebody has obviously just left it. Have I got this right?
Yeah, I mean,
it's like discovering an alien or something.
Yeah. Well, the story goes, and this is how it goes, that there was a chap in a bar, like a fancy export beer bar in California, noticed the person next to him had left behind his iPhone. He goes and asks a few people round about, is this your iPhone? No. Asks at the bar and it's not. And it slowly dawns on him that this iPhone, which is in a case, looks a little bit different to the iPhones he's used to because it's got a camera on the front. And he starts to think, okay, well, what's this? Then proceeds to take it out of the case and it is a different iPhone, which it now transpires, it appears almost certainly, is the new fourth generation of the iPhone. Now, it gets interesting here for a couple of reasons. One is, it's a leak, it's brilliant, everyone wants to know about Apple's new tools.
This does sound like a plot to a movie, I have to say. Carry on.
But what transpires was the person then tries to use it, notices the software is a little bit different to the usual version as well, and then just plays with it a little while, and eventually it bricks. He can't use it anymore. So he tries to, in the intervening period of time, he went on the Facebook app and managed to work out who it was who owned the iPhone. It was an engineer called Gray something within Apple. The next day, apparently, tries to call them, says, I've got your iPhone, can you get in contact? None of them return his phone calls. So after a couple of weeks, he decides and get in contact. I don't know who contacted who, but gets in contact with Gawker Media's Gizmodo blog. So one of the biggest gadget blogs in the world. Money changes hands for the phone. They then sit on it for a while, take some photos of it, you know, play about with it, and then release this as an exclusive that they've got the footage of this brand new iPhone that's not available. So great, interesting story there from that point of view. But how does this fit in with internet marketing? Well, what is now transpiring is that Apple are really not very happy about this. So what they're taking criminal proceedings now against Gizmodo for kind of handling stolen goods and buying stolen goods. So Jason,
you did try and give it back.
Well, apparently so. Yeah. So, but Jason Chen, I think it is, he's the editor of Gizmodo, had his house broken into by the police. They took away all his laptops, all his hard drives, and the like there. And Gizmodo are defending themselves, saying that this is kind of a journalistic right, that, you know, if someone's doing investigative journalism, that they have the right to protect their sources and the like there. But interesting, because Nick Denton, who's the publisher and owner of Gawker, makes a big fuss about the fact that they're not journalists, and anything they do that's journalism, it's by mistake, in inverted commas, rather than by design.
Right.
So it's kind of that selective memory there. So interesting to bear in mind that when you're a blogger, you don't necessarily get the same rights that are afforded to you by a journalist in a lot of cases. So
this is in America, isn't it?
Yeah, this is in America, and the rules will vary everywhere. But it's worth remembering that, you know, when you're publishing things on your blog, you've got to be aware that there are repercussions of that. So if you're libeling someone or revealing, breaking a non-disclosure agreement, you can get in trouble for that.
Interesting story. I still reckon it's a film. It's a film plot. I still reckon it's viral marketing. For
yeah, that, or it's just kind of Apple are actually then going to bring out a super duper amazing one. But it shows that you can't keep anything a secret online nowadays. So if someone finds something like that, it's not like they're just going to sit on it and nothing to happen. Instantly, they're taking pictures of it. They're sharing it on Twitter. They're blogging about it. They're doing all these things.
Pretzi. It sounds like something you eat while you're watching a film, a little brown thing from the bag. That's a pretzel, isn't it?
Yeah. No, this is, yeah, Prezi.
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 P-R-E-Z-I.
Yeah. Okay. And everyone will know that I'm a big fan of using presentations to market your business, particularly if you're B2B, but it can work if you're B2C, if you've kind of got a complex product. Service or
product. With words this morning.
Yeah. I can't speak properly. But if you've got a complex product that you need to demonstrate in some way, a presentation can sometimes be a good way of doing that. So screencasts can work quite well, or demo software or whatever it is. But sometimes presentation can work quite well. And PowerPoint, as much as I love it, is very static. So it's kind of image and text followed by image and text followed by image and text.
Sure.
You can play about with the animation.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But normally it ends up looking rubbish. You've got Keynote on the Mac, which is a little bit better, but only really because it uses nicer fonts, not because it actually does anything any more clever.
Now, I like it.
Well, Prezi is a new tool. Well, I say new tool. It's been around for a year or so. But it's starting to really get some use now. And Prezi is a kind of online presentation creation tool that allows you to kind of zoom in on... If you imagine you've got a huge, great big sheet of a... You know, the biggest sheet of paper that you can find.
Okay.
And you draw a mind map on it.
Oh,
and
I like
that
mind maps.
And that can explain how all these things connect and fit together. That's actually quite good for a presentation, but PowerPoint doesn't really allow you to do it. Whereas what Prezi will do is it will take that big version, allow you to zoom in on one area, talk about that, zoom in again on another bit off the back of
that,
and then zoom back out and go to another area. And yeah, it's really good. I've played about with it. It's a little bit difficult to get your head around. It's not as intuitive as it should be, but it can work really well. So if you want to demonstrate what your product or service is about, and a mind map is a good way of doing that,
yeah,
Prezi definitely is a really good way of taking that mind map and sharing it around on the internet.
Hang on, let me get this right. First of all, is Prezi a web-based system?
Yeah, it's a web-based application. Okay. And you can then, it kind of generates like a Flash file off the back of it.
Okay, so basically then, yeah, it lets you create a sort of like a mind map type diagram, does it?
Yeah,
okay,
which you can then zoom in on. So say you've got your mind map in the middle and it's kind of internet marketing, and then off that we've got SEO, pay-per-click,
but here's
email marketing.
Rub, this is what would be really useful. Does it let you create this, and then can you kind of make a film of you zooming into different areas while you're talking?
Yeah,
that's really good.
I'm not sure whether
so you can whack it on a website.
Yeah, and I'm not absolutely certain whether off the bat you can add the audio to it, but you can definitely create the video.
Okay.
And then you could then go down the screencasting angle. So you use ScreenFlow or Camtasia or Jing
like
or any
that's,
of those
that's
ones
nice,
that
yeah,
allow you to record your screen.
Yeah.
You plug your microphone in and you do
so
all
you
your recording there.
And does it let you stick photos to it and things like that?
Yeah. It's once you're on there, it can kind of pull anything in. So you can have text in whatever format you want. You can have images, you can have diagrams, you can have graphs.
Nice. Yeah.
It's just kind of, it takes presentations from being a sequential one line square followed by square followed by square
to more of a two-dimensional thing.
And for a lot of people, they don't think in that kind of sequential way. You kind of think in the connections between topics.
Imagine if you could do it in three dimensions.
Oh, that would be very spacey and Minority Report style, wouldn't it?
Would he Wordle? Sorry, had we finished talking about
Prezi?
Wordle. Wordle.
Yeah. Now, we're having a discussion earlier about this, weren't we, Andy? Because I'm not a big fan of tag clouds generally, and you were saying that you kind of like them.
I think they're kind of cool, especially the ones... I don't know if you're familiar, there's a podcast I listen to called Mysterious Universe, and their website is mysteriousuniverse.org. It's all about the paranormal and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they have a lovely tag cloud on their website, and it's like a sort of three-dimensional rotating sort of sphere of words.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of similar. It's kind of a really nice way of taking some text that you've got on your site and analysing it to see themes about repetition of words. So basically what you can do is you go to wordle.com, and I'll drop a link in below like I always do, and you can either cut and paste in like a, you know, paragraphs of text from a Word document or the like, put in a URL or put in kind of an RSS feed. And it will then quickly analyse all the text that you've got there and then do some assessments about how frequently you you repeat words. So I did it earlier for the site.
So this is more than just a tag cloud.
Yeah, so it does it in the analysis there and then presents it in a really, really beautiful and designed way.
So hang on a minute. It creates the tag cloud for you without you having to create it explicitly.
Yeah, so this isn't like... It doesn't update itself. This is kind of, you know, like... The best tag cloud you put in your sidebar and it updates every time you do this. This is more for a kind of one-off.
Oh, so you run the process once and it sort of analyses all your words. Yeah.
So I did that for the SiteViz site and the internet marketing podcast channel of that. And yeah, the biggest words were podcast, then IMPC, then listen, then iTunes, then, you know, Google and all the like there. But it kind of weights them. So the bigger the word, the more frequently they're mentioned.
Nice.
And you can change the fonts, you can change the colour, and I'll include as the image to this one the capture of our site there, so you can see what it looks like when people are viewing this. But yeah, it's quite good if you're trying to represent what something talks about visually. So this one's probably less one for, you know, if you've got, you know, a product you're trying to sell, but if you've kind of got a service and you're trying to say to your client, because I know a lot of agencies listen to this, and you're trying to say to your clients, okay, we think you should be doing some social media, here are the blogs we think you should contact. So say you've got 20 blogs you're trying to demonstrate to your client that you should be contacting.
Yeah.
You could put them into Wordle and it would show you what they're about. So then rather than saying, okay, here's website X, it talks a bit about this, it talks a bit about that, you could take this Wordle, put it in a presentation, and very quickly people would understand what that website's about in a visual way.
Again, Kelvin, is this web-based or something you download and use?
Web-based,
it's a web-based system.
Yeah, it does seem to be at the moment that you can't download anything. No programs are downloadable anymore. They're all very much operate within the browser, which I think is probably a good thing. It's part of this kind of cloud development, isn't it? Where you can use anything on any computer anywhere, which I think is generally very good. But it does then mean that you're very reticent to ever download anything. I know I now kind of go, oh, well, why couldn't that just work in the browser when, you know, people want to download something? But it does still work. I mean, I'm a big, big fan of Spotify, which is actually gone quite social now over the last couple of weeks. And yeah, that's a download application. That's very strange to actually download a program nowadays. You kind of just expect everything to be done in the browser.
We'll talk about Spotify in a second, actually. But just before we do, I just want to drill down a little bit into Wordle. How does it work? Do you sort of point it at a website and it looks at all the text?
Yeah. So when you go there and it's you kind of create your tag cloud, it gives you, like I say, the three options. So you can either cut and paste. It's a big text box where you can cut and paste some text in, or cut and paste in a URL of a website or a URL of a feed.
Okay.
And then it kind of does a little bit of JavaScript and then comes back with a nice little image that you can then save as a JPEG and upload to wherever you want to do, or put it in a presentation or
whatever. I'm trying to work out, do you end up embedding a piece of JavaScript into your website, which becomes the tag cloud?
I mean, it's not, like I say, it's more kind of a one-off one than a kind of one you would use on a day-by-day basis that you embed into your site. So it's probably better for that kind of, if you want to show someone what a page is about. Also interesting looking at it from an SEO point of view, because if you just put in your web page, so you go in, put in your home page, so it's like mybusiness.com, and drop in your page there, those words that are biggest should also be your keywords. And so if you do that for yourself, you can say, okay, well, that doesn't act, I don't actually think that that matches up with my keywords. And you can do it for your competitors and see if they're featuring other keywords more frequently. You can normally do that by reading, but again, if you're the kind of person who, you know, kind of rather than a text-based kind of way of thinking, you're more a visual, you know, you visualize things rather than kind of hear them. And you know all the different brain types you get. If you're a visual person, this can be a great way to visualize textual content.
Just before we end up, because we are at about 20 minutes, I haven't used Spotify for ages. I actually downloaded it ages ago on my Mac. I thought, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
Haven't really played with it. What's all this about it going a bit more social? Like, what's it
been doing? Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of Spotify. And if you've not come across it before, Spotify is a program that you download to your computer, and it allows you to search music like you would on iTunes, but rather than pay for each one, you just hit play and it'll play.
A bit like a radio station.
Yeah, like a radio station. But
you choose the music.
Yeah, you choose the music. And so I could type in and put in Status Quo, and Status Quo come up, or I could type in and put MGMT and they'd come up as well. So it's brilliant there. And the way that it makes money is by selling adverts. So every 10 songs or so, you'll get an advert. Less frequently than you would on a normal commercial radio station, but the adverts tend to not vary very much and are generally a little bit annoying. But if you bear in mind that you're getting quite a lot for free, it's very good. They've then also got a premium service where you pay a bit more and then you don't get the adverts and you get some other functionality as well. So you can get like the iPhone app. So very good for that kind of reason. So, I mean, just to demo now just how quickly and easy it is. This will now all go horribly wrong.
Oh, he's getting his iPhone out.
Demonstrate it. So the iPhone application is amazing. So
he's got two iPhones.
Yeah.
Well, you've got two iPhones.
Two iPhone, man. That's how cool I am.
Dear, in the same pocket as well. They rub together and scratch each other.
I've got cracks in one of them.
Oh,
my work
is launching some sort of app.
Yeah, okay. So we'll talk quickly now amongst ourselves. I'm not connected to Andy's Wi-Fi here, so
we don't have a Wi-Fi here.
No, well, there you go.
We're very security conscious.
I have to say that the Spotify app on the iPhone, and you can get it for Android phones as well, takes a little bit of a while to load up.
Is this where we'll get that horrible noise on the...
Ah, that might well happen.
Only if you're using Edge. Apparently, if you're using 3G, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Ooh.
So that was just what I was listening to.
I don't know if you can hear that. But we better not put it near the mic, because otherwise we'll because there's a new law that's just been passed in the UK, we'll probably be sued.
Oh,
stop playing.
Okay. But literally, like, I could then go to search. Name an artist for me, Andy.
John Anderson.
Okay. Is that with an H?
It's pretty obscure. John, no, J-O-N.
Okay.
That's put him on the spot.
It's,
a bit
it's now I can't type, but okay. So I'm hitting search here. Bear in mind I'm on a slow 3G connection here. And what this done... Okay, so I've got John Anderson here. I've searched for him. Okay, so I've got an album, Reason to Live.
That'll do me.
Yep. And I'll play the song Reason to Live.
Yeah, that sounds pretty John Anderson-ish. Yep. Anderson-ish.
And I've never heard Spotify. I've never heard of that person before. Right, so that's... Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's... What's interesting about Spotify is, you know, is from a marketing point of view, that's brilliant just because as a music fan, it's a good application. But if you want to do some marketing with it, the adverts, you can do some really, really clever stuff. And maybe we'll come back to that in the future because a friend of mine who works for a company called Jollywise has done some really interesting stuff promoting films using Spotify.
We must cover that.
But we'll cover that. It's definitely a whole separate issue on that.
Put it on the list to cover, Kelvin. Right, well, I think that's about it for this week. So... It is goodbye from me, Andy White.
And goodbye from me, Kelvin Newman.
See you next week. All the best. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.